grinding. For peace of mind, call Northwest Forest Services Bully Buffet for a no obligation quotation on 913-2033.
Spring is in the air, and there's no better time to refresh your home with the unbeatable value at Grove Furnishings in Letterkenny. Family run since 1978, we've got a huge display of not just sofas, but also dining sets, bedroom sets and floor coverings. With free local delivery, refreshing your home has never been easier. Grove Furnishings, just off the Kiltoy Roundabout in Letterkenny. Let your new look home start with us. Also at grovefurnishings.ie.
Ready to upgrade your car? At Shane Connolly Cars in Donegal Town, we've got a great selection of makes and models to suit every budget. With flexible finance option and trade-ins welcome, upgrading has never been easier. Visit shaneconnollycars.com or call in to see us at Shane Connolly Cars, Drumlanagher, Donegal Town.
Live, on air, online and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5.30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at today's headlines. The Burnfoot Flood Relief Scheme has been greenlit to enter planning stage today. Unions representing workers in the National Ambulance Service have called off strike action planned for Tuesday. Evictions rose to their highest level on record ahead of the introduction of controversial new rental rules in March. And Donegal Senator Niall Blaney has clashed with Sinn Féin's Chris Andrews on the floor of the Seanad during a debate on a bill to allow evidence for the OMA inquiry to be taken south of the border. All these stories in full and more coming up, and we'll have a full update of all the sport with Oisin at around a quarter to six. But first, the Burnfoot Flood Relief Scheme has been greenlit to enter planning stage today, with the timeline estimated to be 6 to 12 months. This was confirmed to Highland Radio News by OPW Minister Kevin Boxer-Moran during a visit to Donegal today. Burnfoot has a history of serious flooding, the most recent occurring during August 2017, where up to 30 homes were flooded. Over €1 billion has been committed to flood relief schemes nationwide, with €13.6 million earmarked for the village. Minister Boxer-Moran says he believes On Commission Planola will deliver the scheme quickly.
The local authority is driving the Burnfoot scheme, and I support them in every way possible, financially, and help them with advice that, and we'll continue that. And I can't credit the local authority. There's a number of other schemes that we spoke about, Killybegs and other areas across the county, and we're going to have a further meeting in 6 weeks' time in Dublin to try and push more pressure, to push not as to put pressure on the local, to work together to deliver them. I am under pressure from the public reps. I give great credit to the local councillors. I've met them all in Donegal. I know the pressure they're under. I was a councillor. They're being hit on the doors. When is this happening? And it takes long. We have so many schemes going on in Donegal at the present time, and they do take time. So what we have done now, what I have done, and I've given commitment to the, particularly Minister Charlie McConnell Logan, the senators and the deputies in the Dáil that I meet with on a regular basis to keep pressure on me. I put pressure back on to the local areas, as I do to the OPW, to drive on the scheme. So I put a huge emphasis on Donegal in the last number of months, and now I see the benefit of that today, with Burnfoot being where we want it to be, and I believe Commissioner Pinala will deliver that scheme quick.
Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, Councillor Paul Canning, says the flood relief project is the first step in allowing Burnfoot to grow.
Well, it's good to get that. I know the people in Burnfoot will be coming back and saying it's a long time in coming, but at least it has arrived. So it's good to see that it is going to the board for planning. Now, according to Boxer-Moran, it'll probably take between 6 and 12 months for planning. And hopefully we have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted, because Burnfoot needs this flood relief scheme to allow the village to grow and allow the village to get on with their lives. There's a lot of people there that have been affected and are still being affected, and they're very nervous sitting in their homes. So this could be the start of a process that hopefully will see fruition in the next couple of years and the development of the flood relief scheme.
And with flood defences in place, that would then, in theory, allow the place to grow, wouldn't it?
Very much so. The problem we're having in Burnfoot, we have a situation like in relation to planning, but we are also waiting on the upgrade of the treatment system and the sewerage system. And until the flood relief scheme is done, we can't really design the wastewater treatment system. So at the minute, Burnfoot is sitting at a standstill and cannot grow. So this will be the start of that process.
Well, during his visit today, the minister also officially reopened Glebe House and Gallery. The entire site, including the gallery, tea rooms and gardens, closed in 2024 for restoration works. It was gradually reopened as the project progressed. Today marks the reopening of the house, once owned by Derek Hill, completing the full restoration of the grounds. The Office of Public Works says it was important that the project be completed ahead of its bicentenary celebrations in 2028. Curator Adrian Kelly says the work has exceeded his expectations.
We wanted it to still have that 1970s kind of a feel about it, so it was important that we didn't overdo things or do things to make it look new or to make it look like it was from the 1880s when it was built either. So that was an interesting balancing act, and we had a lot of conversations between the various architects and engineers about what to do and what not to do, at what point to stop and what to recreate.
You said then that throughout the process you've absolutely fallen in love with the house.
I have, yeah. The house was always problematic because it was hard to manage. It was hard to keep a good museum environment and maintain it over the course of the year. And so far it's been really good. The climate's been, it's perfect. I mean, I didn't expect it to be as good as it is. I was hoping for a lot, but it really is perfect. So that's very exciting because it was kind of the last thing that needed to be done to the site. And it's done now. It's a really successful piece of work.
Unions representing workers in the National Ambulance Service have called off strike action planned for next Tuesday. Representatives from SIPTU and Unite met HSE management at the Labour Court in Dublin this afternoon. Union members staged a 24-hour work stoppage earlier this week in a dispute over pay and conditions. SIPTU organiser John McCamley says next week's strike has been suspended, but further industrial action the following week has not been ruled out.
Torch has asked us in to talk to them again on Monday. They've requested that we would stand down the industrial action plan for Tuesday and Wednesday. We've met our committee today. They've agreed to do so, but the other action still stands for the following week.
Evictions rose to their highest levels on record ahead of the introduction of controversial new rental rules in March. That's according to the latest data from the Residential Tenancies Board. Barry White has more.
The Residential Tenancies Board received 7,062 notices of termination during the first quarter of this year. That's compared to 4,693 in 2025. This is the highest number recorded since the board began collecting the data in 2023. The RTB says 60% of notices were issued because landlords planned to sell their property. While eviction notices peaked in February, the number fell again in March.
In the Dáil this afternoon, Donegal TD and Sinn Féin finance spokesperson Piers Doherty told Tánaiste Simon Harris that the responsibility for the figures lay squarely with the government.
We warned you. We told you what was going to happen. You're allowing landlords to drive up rents. We told you that we'd use your legislation to evict tenants. And what is happening now? You are presiding over the highest rate of eviction since the famine. Think of that, Tánaiste. Since the famine, you are presiding over the highest rate of evictions. In one of the most wealthiest countries in Europe, families are being driven from their homes in their thousands. That is what you're overseeing. And we have told you time and time again that your policies are failing people. You're talking about affordable housing that's costing €2,500 and €3,000 to rent every single month. It is simply unaffordable. So I ask you this, Tánaiste. Do you accept that your legislation has allowed a situation where now we have more evictions since the famine and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are presiding over that?
No, I don't. No, I don't. And of course, you want people to give up hope. You want people to give up on this country because your politics thrives on that negativity and that divisiveness. But the people are much more reasonable than you. And they know that we're building more homes than the EU average. They know that Ireland delivered the strongest rate of new housing completions across 19 countries in the EU in 2024. They can see the homes, they can see the cranes, they can see the figures. They know there's more first-time buyers than any time since 2007. They know that there's more tenancies as well, and they know that we're making progress. The reality, though, is all you do each and every week is hop on the latest headline. While we're making serious policy decisions across a spectrum of the housing challenge, you have no sense of direction. Whatever way the wind blows, Pierce goes. And it doesn't add up is the problem. You want to get rid of all the taxes, you want more spending, you want a mini budget every week, you say you want more affordable and available rental supply,
Order,
and yet you
please.
Vote against every measure we bring forward. You're not even capable of responsible opposition, which is why the people have never put you in government.
Donegal Senator Niall Blaney has clashed with Sinn Féin's Chris Andrews on the floor of the Seanad during a debate on a bill to allow evidence for the OMA inquiry to be taken south of the border. Senator Andrews sought to intervene, asking for clarification on a point raised, but was ruled out of order by Gaheerla Mark Daly. It came after Senator Blady, the Fianna Fáil spokesperson on Northern Ireland, raised questions about possible links between Sinn Féin and people associated with the Real IRA.
I do believe that the Real IRA does need an awful lot more investigating here, but I also believe the relationship of Sinn Féin with some of the actors in the Real IRA that have been investigated also needs looking at. Moreover, should be looked at.
Find something there and only come in if the Senator allows you.
Sorry,
Senator,
can I ask for clarification?
No, sorry.
I can't. No. I can't seek clarification to find out what Senator Blaney is alluding to.
Senator,
he seems to know more than everybody else does, so maybe you could maybe outline it. But it's disappointing that he just throws out those sort of allegations and, you know, doesn't make any sort of
speech without interruption.
Yeah, it's just it speaks volumes that he won't actually explain himself.
The Senator in position is entitled to continue.
It says it all when you're in here. Senator Blaney. Actually, you're the one here and represent Sinn Féin. It says it all for me.
Very disappointing.
I think things like
Senator Blaney without interruption. Senator Blaney without interruption.
You know,
if you have something, why don't you say it?
Senator Andrews. Didn't interrupt you.
Senator Andrews.
Didn't interrupt you.
Senator Blaney without interruption.
I think such things as ownership even of constituency offices should even be investigated in this country. There are people of a certain party that seem to own all the constituency offices, or those directors of Sinn Féin own them on their behalf. Where those monies have came from over the years, and those directors, those actual directors, the other properties they own.
That's pretty.
You're part of the richest empire on this state, Senator Andrews.
Are you supporting the bill?
Sorry, Senator Blaney.
I am supporting the bill, but I'm outlining my views, like you did.
You're speculating and you're coming out with fairly serious accusations, and you don't seem to be
willing
to.
Senator Andrews.
I suggest you go to the Gardaí.
The Seanad supported the International Cooperation OMA Bombing Inquiry Bill, agreeing that it should go to committee stage next week. In his opening speech to the debate, Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan said he wants the bill on the statute books before the inquiry begins hearing evidence in September. There were heated discussions at this morning's meeting of Donegal County Council's Roads and Transportation Committee over the cost of works being carried out under the Public Lights and Minor Infrastructure Scheme. Under the scheme, each elected member is allowed €7,000. Donna Marie Doherty has this report.
Councillor Patrick McGowan, backed by Councillor Micheál Nochtain, argued that better value for money could be achieved if councillors had greater power to outsource smaller projects to local contractors. The debate arose following a quote of €20,000 for traffic ramps. Councillor Nochtain said a local contractor told him the work could be completed for a fraction of that cost. However, Fergal Doherty, Area Manager of Roads and Transportation in Donegal County Council, said administrative and tendering requirements must be followed to ensure value for money and compliance with procurement rules. The cost of this is built into the final quotation. Councillor McGowan suggested a once-off panel of local contractors could be created for smaller jobs, while Mr Doherty said that rising prices would make this difficult, and there's been recent contractor withdrawals for bitmap projects, which is evidence of this. Ultimately, it was decided that it would be revisited at the next meeting with a view to looking at the logistics in the interim.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to start your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 6:15 in Highland Radio, and Oisin Kelly is at the sports desk.
Thanks, Ryan. We start with golf. There's now a three-way tie for the lead on day one of the US PGA Championship. Germany's Steven Yeager, South African Aldrich Pochettiron, and Australian Minwoo Lee are three under par, which is just a shot ahead of the chasing pack. Rory McIlroy is level par with six holes left to play. Patrick Harrington is three to go. He's four over. Tom McGibbon's almost finished. He sits at five over in the closing holes of round one. Shane Lowry's in the later groups today and gets his campaign up and running shortly after 6:30. Also in action out later is the defending champion, Scottie Scheffler. To football, Liverpool manager Arnaud Slot says he's every reason to believe that he will remain in charge after this season. They've lost 11 games in their title defence this term and need to win one of their final two games to secure Champions League football for next season. Liverpool were booed after last week's draw at home to Chelsea, but Slot isn't worried about his future.
I have every reason to believe I'm the Liverpool manager next season. First of all, I'm contracted to this club. And second of all, from all the talks we are having. So yeah, that is my take on it. But as you said, if you don't have the best season, then it's also normal that criticism comes.
Dundee United defender Will Ferry has been called up to the Republic of Ireland squad. They're currently in Murcia for a training camp and take on Granada in an international friendly this Saturday. Ferry has given permission, has been given permission by his club to fly out today, and he's set to take part in training this evening. Bunnings United have confirmed the appointment of Declan Lynch as their new senior men's team manager, replacing Michael Fonston when the season ends. A former Bunnings United player, Declan takes over ahead of the inaugural National League season, which will kick off in the autumn. He most recently worked as a coach with the Derry City Under-20s, where he previously managed Aya FC in the Inishowen League, and also worked with the Glentoran Academy. Bunnings United will also remain in the Donegal League Premier Division next season under the management of Sean Hume. To Gaelic games, Tyrone will play Kerry in this year's All-Ireland Under-20 football final. Tyrone stayed on course for three titles in a row with a 5-point win over Kildare last night, while Kerry saw off Roscommon by 9 points after extra time. Tyrone manager Paul Devlin has now steered sides to six Ulster titles, and he now finds himself in a fourth All-Ireland final.
It's an odd game, you know what I mean? As you say, there's a lot of new faces in there going into an All-Ireland final. Some of them haven't played an All-Ireland final. Some of them played under-20, some of them played minors. But, you know, a lot of the lads that have been involved and will use that experience going through here. And again, look at the coaching team we have here with a lot of guys, and they will put their shoulder to the wheel too and help them go over the line. So, look, a bit of work to do if we get in the final, and we'll embrace it. So will I.
In rugby, Ulster have named two academy players in their starting side for tomorrow night's crucial clash with the Glasgow Warriors in Belfast. Brian Ward starts at number 8, while Willem de Lurk is named to start in midfield alongside the returning James Hume. There's also a welcome return for veteran hooker Rob Herring after injury. Tom O'Toole is back in the front row following illness. Nick Timoney captains the side, while the informed back three of Zach Ward, Warner Coke and Michael Lowry remain unchanged after all three scored against the Stormers last week. Finally, looking ahead to the score programme tonight, I'll be joined by former Finnair Harps captain Joe Boyle for a weekly League of Ireland chat. The Red O'Mulford joint managers Gary Doherty and Aoife McFadden reflect on the school's All-Ireland success this week. Donegal jockey Dylan Brown McMonagall tells us about his ambitions for 2026 and on his comeback from injury. Plus, rally driver Kyle McBride is off to Sweden to start his European Rally Championship campaign. We'll speak with the Inishowen man. It's all part of the score tonight, which is coming up after the 7 o'clock news, Ryan.
Thanks, Oisin. Highland Radio has further strengthened its position as the Northwest leading radio station, according to the latest JNLR Ipsos listenership figures. The survey covering the period from April 2025 to March 2026 shows that 81% of people across the region tune into Highland Radio each week. Daily listenership also remains extremely strong, with 64,000 adults, representing 54% of the audience, listening every day. Highland Radio continues to hold the highest market share of any radio station in the country at 63.8%. Market share measures both audience size and how long people are listening for, with a spokesperson saying this highlights the loyalty and engagement of Highland Radio's listeners. And the weather, a cool evening with bright spells and well-scattered showers and a brisk northerly breeze. Tonight will be dry for most with long clear spells and just isolated showers. Chilly with lowest temperatures of 2 to 5 degrees and a touch of grass frost is possible in sheltered spots. Northerly winds will ease back northwest. A look back at today's main stories. The Burnfoot Flood Relief Scheme has been greenlit to enter planning stage today, with the timeline estimated to be 6 to 12 months. This was confirmed to Highland Radio News by OPW Minister Kevin Boxer-Moran during a visit to Donegal today. Burnfoot has a history of serious flooding, the most recent occurring in August 2017, when up to 30 homes were flooded. Over €1 billion has been committed to flood relief schemes nationwide, with 13.6 million earmarked for the village. Minister Boxer-Moran says he believes On Commission Planola will deliver the scheme quickly. Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council Councillor Paul Canning says the flood relief project is the first step in allowing Burnfoot to grow. Unions representing workers in the National Ambulance Service have called off strike action planned for next Tuesday. Representatives from SIPTU and Unite met HSE management at the Labour Court in Dublin this afternoon. Union members staged a 24-hour work stoppage earlier this week in a dispute over paying conditions. SIPTU organiser John McCamley says next week's strike has been suspended, but further industrial action the following week hasn't been ruled out. Ahead of the government's controversial new rental rules, evictions have risen to their highest level. That is according to the latest figures from the Residential Tenancies Board. In the first quarter of this year, the board received 7,062 notices of termination, while across the entirety of 2025, they received 4,693. Speaking in the Dáil this afternoon, Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty says this is a direct result of the change in government policy. And Donegal Senator Niall Blaney has clashed with Sinn Féin's Chris Andrews on the floor of the Shannon during a debate on a bill to allow evidence for the OMA inquiry to be taken south of the border. Senator Andrews sought to intervene, asking for clarification on a point raised, but was ruled out of order by Cathaoirleach Mark Daly. It came after Senator Blaney, the Fianna Fáil spokesperson on Northern Ireland, raised questions about possible links between Sinn Féin and people associated with the real IRA. That's all from the newsroom for now. Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore will be after tonight's obituary notices. We'll be back with news again at 7 o'clock.
The obituary notices this Thursday evening, May 14th. The death has taken place of Pacelli Maguire, Tully Vinnie Rafoe, formerly of Tober Ballandrate. Funeral leaving Pacelli's late residence at 10:30 tomorrow morning, going to St Eunan's Church Rafoe for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. House funeral and burial private to family only, please. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. The Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine has issued an update on applications for this year's BIS scheme. The applications are running ahead of the same date last year, and the closing date for applications is midnight tomorrow. This is also the deadline for applications to be submitted for a range of other schemes, including the Complementary Income Support for Young Farmers, the ECO Scheme, ANC, and Transfers of Entitlements. And the applications must be submitted online through the Department's Ag Food Portal. Farmers who want help in submitting applications can contact the Department's Direct Payments Help Desk. And the number for that is 057-867-4422. That's 057-867-4422. The on-farm Badger Biosecurity Scheme has opened for farmer applications. Part of the Bovine TB Action Plan published last year, this will allow farmers to reduce the risk posed by badgers in the spread of bovine TB by assisting in the cost of improving on-farm badger biosecurity measures. The scheme will be open for receipt of applications until the 31st of May. Farmers can purchase fencing materials for fencing off badger sets to exclude cattle from the area around the opening of sets, as well as purchasing eligible water troughs and feed troughs which impede badger access. And they can get them from eligible participating cooperatives and agri-retail merchants. Farmers will be issued an approval letter from the Department of Agriculture following an examination of their eligibility and can purchase materials from a participating co-op or agri-merchant upon presentation of their approval letter between the 1st of July and the 31st of August. Now, the scheme provides a grant aid of 40% for purchases of the eligible materials up to a maximum of €2,000 expenditure. Meanwhile, Donegal IFA is organising a TB information meeting which will be held at 8 o'clock at Rafoe Livestock Mart next Tuesday. The guest speakers are Donal Callaghan, IFA Policy Executive, and Niall McSherry of Northwest Vets. And there will also be a representative from the Department of Agriculture's Regional Veterinary Office. Chagas are organising a series of spring crop walks in various locations around the country, and here in Donegal there'll be a walk on Monday at 7 o'clock at Drumbarnet Middle in Manor Conyngham. And to tell me more details about this, I'm joined by Martin McCullough, who is a dry stock and tillage advisor here in the county. Martin, maybe you can just give us an outline of the event and what people can expect.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. We're on the farm of Michael Grant, and there are Chagas crop specialist for the north half of the country, Shea Phelan, is going to be in attendance. And we're basically just going to look at spring crops and the management of them from now on. They're in, a lot of them planted in the last couple of weeks, so they're just breeding now. Michael also has a crop of spring beans, so we'll have a look at that. And then we'll also be walking and looking at crops of winter barley and winter oats and looking at the management of those, which is nearly almost finished at this point in time, and oilseed rape as well. So it'll be very hands-on and, you know, looking at crops as opposed to just talking about them. And as well as that, we'll have a sort of sprayer demo, be looking at that as well. We'll be talking about spray nozzles, water volumes. And Michael has also this year started using liquid fertilizer, using the sprayer as well. So we'll be able to see the effect of that on the crops as well. It's well worthwhile for anyone with any crops to look to attend in the evening or whatever, if they can at all.
People, do they need to register or can they just go along?
No, all welcome and just turn up on the night or whatever. So, no, it'll be, I'd say it's well worth attending if people have the time.
Now, the weather to date has been somewhat challenging. What's the feedback that you've got from people on the ground? Can we get sort of back on track?
It's been a poor old year. Like we've been very wet and very cold. And even though the weather has picked up a lot in the last two or three weeks, it has been quite cold as well. But no, the crops seem to be coming on well now. They've caught up a lot of them where they had a slow start in the spring there, but they seem to have picked up a lot now. And most land that was crops was to go into have been sown at this stage, which seemed unlikely two or three weeks ago. So no, hopefully with a bit of weather from now on, if it improves, I think it's to get a bit warmer in the coming week or whatever, you know, that crops will catch up fairly fast.
Yeah, now it's been a tough couple of years for those in the tillage sector. What way is it looking in terms of acreage this year? Do you think we'll be up or down or much the same in Donegal?
Yeah, we'll be much the same in Donegal, but as you said, the prices farmers are getting for the grain has been, you know, there's very little profit in the crops for the last couple of years. So, look, it's totally dependent on the world markets, which are affected by things going on in different parts of the world. There is a lot of things going on in the world and affecting different things at the minute. So that could help prices later on in the year, but we won't really know till come closer to harvest time.
Yeah, time will tell. Now, just while I have you on, also just to mention the farm of Stephen Fitzpatrick in St Johnston. That's the location for a reseeding event, which is taking place next Tuesday. That's the 19th of May at 11:30. So there'll be a number of topics discussed at that event.
Yeah, it's going to be looking at reseeding, the benefits of it and why you should do it, particularly if you have silage fields and that sort of thing, you know. And just be looking at soil fertility and then post reseeding management, which is highly important as well. So there again, we'll also be looking at different methods of reseeding. Look, like all these things, it's actually, you know, it'll be very hands-on and well worth attending for grassland farmers, particularly if they're thinking of reseeding this spring.
And once again, that event is free to attend and no registration is necessary. And another event that might be worth popping in your diary is one taking place on Thursday, May the 28th at 11 a.m. at Shannon Porter's Milk Bar in Carrigans. This Field for Her Own, Empower the Women of Agriculture event is backed by the IFA and Skillnet. At the event, you'll hear stories from women in farming. Topics will include lived farming experiences, succession and stepping into leadership, farm diversity and innovation, and adding value to your farm business. It's a free event and you can register on the IFA website. And the Department of Agriculture has confirmed that plans to force farmers to install roofs on outdoor slurry storage tanks have been abandoned. According to a report in this week's Farmers Journal, the proposal had formed part of the department's Ag Climatise Roadmap back in 2020 as a measure aimed at reducing ammonia emissions. However, a senior department inspector said concerns about the feasibility of retrofitting covers onto existing roofless tanks led to the proposal being dropped. And now just a few more dates for your diary as we enter the agricultural show season. The Finn Valley Agricultural Show is on Saturday, June the 27th.
The Inishowen Agricultural Show was on Saturday, July the 18th, and the Glencolum Kill Agricultural Show will be on Sunday, August the 2nd and Monday, August the 3rd. The Mena Cross Show will be on Monday, August the 3rd, and the Clonmany Show will be over 2 days, that's Tuesday, August the 4th and Wednesday, August the 5th, with the Ardra Show on Saturday, August the 8th, and the Ballyshannon Show is on Sunday, August the 16th. Well, this week, addressing the Oireachtas Joint Committee on Agriculture and Food on the impact of greenways, the IFA Infrastructure Project Team Chair Paul O'Brien said the use of compulsory purchase orders for greenway development disregards farm families' livelihoods. He said farmers are not opposed to greenways and stressed that the IFA supports rural development, tourism and community recreation when they coexist fairly with farm livelihoods. But what the IFA do oppose is any compulsory acquisition and any approach that disregards the rights of people who live and work on the land. In other news, well done to Charmaine McDermott from Redcastle for making it as a finalist in the Chagas FBD Student of the Year competition. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.